Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And he's looking for people he can count on. People that will love his people like he loves his people. The Lord our God has always desired that we have the same heart and motives that he has. Being made in his image means a lot to God. When he sees us, he sees part of himself. And he's deposited things in us that have not been done yet. He's deposited things in us that's just plain amazing. And I'm not saying that lightly. People have different creative abilities. And it's a good thing. Now, our family members don't always see the handiwork of God in our lives. But God does. Sometimes your younger brother, sister, or cousin, or your older brother, sister, or cousin, or parents, there are things that God intends to do in their lives. And once people get saved and they yield to the Holy Spirit, then the Lord has something unique to work with. That's why everyone is so important. But they must be willing. The way of God must be chosen. They must choose the way of God. And those who make the choice to follow God and to take the Lord at his word and hear him out, they're the ones that God can use. And he'll prepare them and train them, help them build their lives on a solid foundation. And then he'll give them assignments that they need, that he needs. Actually, when God gives an assignment, that's because he needs it. There are people out there that he want to reach. And he will even give people songs and they'll become well known because they can carry the anointing to get it out there. A lot of things happen. Even the relationships that we enjoy play a part of the handiwork of God. Now, my parents, I don't say that lightly. I say these things wholeheartedly. My mother had 10 brothers. And she was raised, she had many brothers, and she loved them. She grew up with them. She was older than some and younger than some. And she had a wide range of perspectives. Her father was married before, and he had 3 sons, and one got killed. And she loved her brothers. And then one was older than her by her mom, and then the rest were younger. Now, She had to deal with younger brothers and older brothers, and she understood men. She had a good perspective of men and how they thought. She had her dad, and she understood men. Now, my father's parents were killed when he was 5 years old. They were shot. And the bullet that killed my dad, my granddad, went across my dad's chest. There was a scar on his chest where the bullet nicked him and killed his daddy. So he almost got killed. Now, he was raised by his Hamby grandparents. And he was an orphan raised by his grandparents. And my mother understood him. And they had a strong dynamic together. She knew how to be patient with him. She knew how men thought. She knew how to be a blessing. She knew how to be a good wife. And together in ministry, they paid for 3 churches in their tenure. He pastored several churches in Birmingham in the Alabama area. And he'd have to go out of town most of the time. She didn't complain. She didn't fuss. I never heard her complain about how they had to live and go out of town every weekend. He pastored, when I was coming up, he pastored three churches in Utah, Alabama. And before that, when I was a baby, up to the age of about 4 or 5, he pastored a church in Collinsville and Altoona, Alabama. But he always had to travel and preach. And that was a church called Hopewell United Methodist Church in Village Springs, where we used to live. And I loved that church. I grew up wishing my dad could just pastor that church, and then I could be at home with my friends, and then go. I could see my cousins when we go to Village Springs. And in the latter years, he was able, after he retired, he actually retired, and then he pastored at Hopewell United Methodist Church. And my mother never complained, never, ever complained. And she went to church until she had to stop driving. And after that, she went till she could not go anymore. And I thank God, I have their history impacted my life. My father's dedication to the Word of God. And I saw him live the life at home. And he preached, he had a passion for preaching God's word. And he loved life. He was a boxer. I didn't know a lot of things about him until I was grown. But he was in a singing group when he was younger. And he used to love to dance. He could play, I didn't know he could play the guitar. And he could play, I found out he could play the piano by ear. And we went home one day. I heard him play a song when I was much younger. And I was, I think I was grown and married and moved out. I was at home one day. I went back visiting. And I was telling my sisters, you know, Daddy can play the piano. And they said, he can't play the piano. I said, yes, he can. I said, he's good at it, too. No, he can't. Yes, he can. And they couldn't believe it. And we got him in there, and he played that piano like he'd been practicing. And he played a song. It's like he never, it sounded like he played it every day. I didn't know I knew he could do it because I heard him do it one time. And now in my life now, I caught him in there playing the piano. I said, I didn't know you could play the piano. And he played it. I wish I had recorded it. It sounded that good. And then years went by, and I said, Daddy can play the piano. No, he can't. Yes, he can. And he did it in front of everybody. The whole family saw him playing that piano like a pro. But the dynamic of family, who you marry. I'm so thankful that my daddy married my mom. Now, my mother had a business mind. Now, my mother had a... She was taught well. She was a teacher, and her daddy was a businessman. And on her mother's side, her granddad was a businessman. They had businesses, and they knew how to do things. And she knew how to manage money well. And she taught me how to pay a house off ahead of time. She taught me to pay she divided the bill against the principal and interest, and every month she'd pay an extra principal, and she paid her house off. They paid the house off about before I got out of high school, good, because of good wisdom, the wisdom of God. See, the Lord send people. If the right people get together and pull their weight and do the things of God, then the Lord can use them to do greater things. That's what it's all about. He'll use your gifts, your talents, your wisdom. He'll use, I know that it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God, he uses people who have wisdom and strength. Now, only the Holy Spirit can put together the team that we need. Now, we bring to the table what we have. Our strengths, our weaknesses, our abilities, and then the Lord will help us. It's just like he said in St. John chapter 15, that in every tree that bears fruit, he'll purge it and cause it to bring forth more fruit. So he can take a person that's successful and make them more successful. They're already doing something. My pastor said, if you really want to serve God, do what you can. And it's easy for God to position you where he needs you to be. He said, when the heavy ship leaves dry dock, once they get it moving, they can sway it the way they want it to go. And if you look throughout the word of God, everybody that the Lord called to do something for them, they were busy doing something. And they were doing it wisely. When we first met the prophet Elisha, he was plowing in a drought with 12 yoke of oxen. Now that ground was hard and fallow. He had 24 ox out there trying to plow up that hard ground so he could plant something. And Elijah had already shut up the windows of heaven where it wouldn't rain. And he came and hit and threw his mantle on himself and told him to follow him. And then he talked about burying his parents. He said, what have I done to you? He said, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. And he followed him. And he became a prophet. And he ended up with a double anointing. And when he died, some men were running from the enemy and threw a dead man in his tomb and landed on his bones. And that man came back to life, healed and everything. Now, God can use you when you're obedient to him. I never heard my mother complain, and I never heard my father complain ever out of all my life about how they had to drive out of town. And then they both had jobs. My mother was a school teacher and my daddy worked at a U.S. pipe. And that's, he had the kind of job that when you come home, you want to sit down. I never heard him complain. Never. He passed in 2010 and mama passed in 2015. And I never heard either one of them complain. I was born in 1963. They served God faithfully. And they did it with joy. And then I come from a neighborhood where I saw so many good role models. Most of the people in my neighborhood went to church and they loved God and they worked and they took care of their family. I played with their children. We were best friends and we loved each other and even now. And the dynamic was strong. And I desired to live in a neighborhood like that all ever since I was grown. Now every neighborhood is not that way. But the teamwork that God, what I'm talking about is what the Lord can do with those who yield themselves to him. I never heard my parents complain. And my mother served, she was a blessing to my father. When she would get home before him, she'd cook dinner. And they'd have a good conversation at the dinner table. He'd get home about an hour later. He'd take a shower at work, so when he come home, he's ready to eat, and they talk, and then she'd make me do my lesson. You know, I couldn't have better parents than that. And my mom would explain things to me. And the Lord put it on my heart. I wanted to know some things. I used to ask a lot of questions. So when I got saved and found out that the Lord, I could have a thriving relationship with God, I started asking God questions, and he started teaching me. Now, for years, he's been teaching me, especially from like 1990 and up. That's when I really started learning from the Lord. My relationship began in 1983. But by 1990, I started going into the presence of the Lord, and I started asking questions, getting answers, studying the word, just like we explained in other broadcasts. I refer to it many times because people want to have, if you want a relationship with the Lord, just draw near to him. It's no magic. You don't have to get somebody to lay hands on you so you'll have a good relationship with the Lord. All you have to do is want to know him. That's the first thing. If you want to know him, and if you're not afraid that he's going to send you to some drive on wilderness and make you preach somewhere. You know, that's why people don't seek God. They're afraid of the duty and the assignment. Don't ever be afraid of that. If the Lord give you, if he wants you to do something like that, you'll have a passion for it. You'll want to do it. You'll be asking for it. But God loves us. And those who obey him, they learn things that you can't learn any other way. And I saw my parents serve God and not complain. Ever. and they both went to church till they couldn't go no more, till their health failed. And then they watch it on TV. They love God. I love them too. Were they perfect? No, no. Not saying they were perfect, but I am saying they were dedicated. And that's a beautiful thing. Everybody who loves God is not always dedicated, but they were dedicated in my opinion. Because I never heard them complain about what they had to do. And now I serve God and I don't complain. I thank God for everything he gave me to do. But look at what the Holy Spirit put together. My mother, she was raised with her sister and her brothers. She had many brothers, 10. And her youngest sister died in a fire. And my auntie, they were two wise women. They were very wise. And they wanted a strong family. And they married men that wanted a family. Now, my daddy was an orphan. And my uncle was an orphan. His mother died when he was young. He was raised by his aunt. And they love family. Both men had a passion for family. And both my mom and my aunt, they had a passion for family. And they put a lot of thought in their life and how they wanted things to be. They even bought houses in the same neighborhood. And I think, and it was a brand new neighborhood in 1966. And they had houses built because they weren't rich. They were just wise. They saved. They worked every day. And see, the word of God is written a certain way. The things you desire are added. But the knowledge of God is multiplied to you. All the things of God, faith, grace, healing, wisdom, knowledge. These things are multiplied to you by the Holy Spirit. He gives that liberally and abundantly and on purpose. The only problem is people just don't seek his face. The only reason that they don't have a thriving relationship with the Lord is because they don't know that they can have one. And sometimes they don't want one. They're afraid that God's going to give them some assignment. Or something. Or take away their sin. Or something that they think is wrong. But you, if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. God's not going to try it. And people have a wrong understanding of who God is also. God loves us. He come to give you life and that more abundantly. Jesus said it and he meant it. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You don't have to be afraid that God don't want you to have a motorcycle. You don't have to be afraid that God don't want you to sing no more. You don't have to be afraid that God don't want you to tell jokes. He don't want you to tear people down. You can joke and not hurt anybody. Anything you want to do, there's a way to do it, and nobody gets offended and nobody gets hurt. You don't have to be destructive. Now, you know, a lot of people thought that the songs had to be like the, you know, slow and boring. No. If you heard Songs of Heaven, you'll change your opinions about. Sometimes people have dead opinions and they hold people back from knowing God. They think God is miserable. God is not miserable. He's full of life. Now, in the Word of God, he's dealing with hard-headed people that's hard-hearted, and they're miserable. And he would have to rebuke them because they are out of covenant. And they're gonna face disaster. And he don't want that to happen. So he's working with hard-headed, miserable, backbiting people. But when you get to know him for yourself, he is not like that. People are like that. God is not. If you sit down and do things the right way and stop complaining. I never heard my parents complain about the assignments they had. In fact, I don't remember them complaining about anything. All I remember was good wisdom that they taught me. Now, my mom did most of the teaching. My dad had preached at church. He was the kind of person, he was a blessed man. He used to hum songs. He used to, when he get off work, he'd feed the birds and he'd be humming a song. He was so content. That's the most content man I ever seen in my life. He had, it's amazing how you had to know him. He didn't talk much. He'd be humming a song. Just like everything was good in his mind, and it was. And then he preached like thunder. Now, my friends, when we were in the band, we went to a revival. My dad was preaching a revival in Hopewell. And I remember when he got wound up there in that pulpit preaching, Earl said, "Is that the same man sitting there reading that newspaper all every day?" Because when they come in, he'll speak. He'll say, "How y'all doing?" That's all he'll say. Sometimes he'll just shake his head when they walk by. That's how they doing. He didn't talk much. But you put him in the pulpit, he was anointed. He could he was like another person. Now, he didn't sit me down and explain things like Mama did. Mama did that. Dad preached. That's all he preached. He didn't warn me about stuff. He didn't teach me a lot of things one-on-one. He preached. what I learned from him was example. That was just the way he was. Now, when I started dialoguing with the Lord, I started asking the Lord things that he should have been telling me. But my mom did it by the Holy Spirit. She did the same. She explained things. Now, when I used to get a whooping, she'd light me up. She'd light me up. I didn't want to sin no more. And she'd explain things to me. Now, sometimes when at the right moment, she just tell me things and explain things. And I wanted to do right. I took God serious as a child. But I didn't get saved till I was 19. I held back on God. I watched, I learned. But I wanted to know that I could do right. And you know, I didn't get saved till I was 9. I didn't think about getting saved till I was about 17. I started thinking about it more and more. But once I said, if I get saved, I want to do right. I want to do the things that God requires. And because that's the new birth. When I believed on Jesus for myself. See, sometimes people get saved because other people coerce them. And they're not settled in the heart. And my parents understood that. But I wish they had talked to me more about it and I would have gotten saved early. Now, I was the kind of child that acted right. So they probably thought I was saved, be honest. But I wasn't saved. I'd have went straight to hell. And I know I would have, because when I was between the 8th and 9th grade, the Lord said, "You're on your own now." And I knew what he was talking about. I didn't realize it was him, but I knew I needed to get saved. Because my cousin had taught me about salvation in detail. But going to church all my life, my parents probably thought I was a Christian. And I knew I wasn't no Christian. There were things that I hadn't done yet and I wanted to try. And I wanted, if I got saved, that would have been way out of the question. And I wish I had gotten saved because the things that I tried didn't work. And I wish I could go back in time and not do that. But anyway, I got saved. The Lord is looking for people that he can trust to do his will. Now, the Lord put my parents together because they loved each other. They enjoyed each other's company. They were best friends. My mother understood my daddy. See, if his daddy didn't die, he would have understood more about being a family man. Now, he was a good leader. He had a lot of wisdom. He just didn't express it. He had a lot of wisdom. He had more wisdom than I realized. Because it took a lot of wisdom to do what he did. Now, I said earlier that my mother was, her granddaddy had a business mind. Her mother had a business mind. And her daddy had a business mind as well. She told me that her daddy used to own the ice house in Woodlawn. And it's still called the ice house if it's still there. It became a tire shop and whatever else. He worked in the mines and he used to handle dynamite. And back in those days, in the days of segregation, whenever they had a company meeting, they let him talk. And most of the time, they didn't let black people talk, but they let my granddaddy talk, my mother's daddy. And he'd give advice and, you know. And in the mines, they tried to get a union. That's how my mother's brother got killed. I found that out later. They were trying to get a union and and they killed his son. Those days were bad. They had their own issues. But it's better to go forward in life, forgive people, because man is going to do wrong. It's in his heart. It's in his nature. Things are going to go wrong. And my mother's brother, the one that got killed, was grown when she was a little girl, and he was grown. But God loves his people, and he cares about his people. He wants his people to know him. Everybody has things in their life. There are pain. There are areas of pain, and there's areas of blessing. And my mother had a strong, determined love for God. She knew that that was the best way for her family to go. She loved God and she wanted her family to love God. And I raised my children to, I told them everything I knew about God as they were coming up. Because the family, if you carry such a heritage, your generation will be strong. Your descendants will be strong, and I want them strong. But the person that you marry to can be an asset to you. They may not do everything like you think they should do, but don't count them out so fast, because the enemy is going to try to show you the worst. I'm just telling you from experience. He's going to try to show you the worst. Don't fall for that lie. There are things about you and your spouse and the people in your life that God can work with. And you're going to have to go in the Lord's presence and draw near to him and find these things out for yourself. Because if you see, everybody want to box God into some form of a tradition. And don't do him like that. Let him do the greater things in you. I got a friend, the Lord was giving him rap songs when rap was popular back in the late 80s and 90s. And he went to a pastor, and I think it was the 90s, because Chris is younger than me. And the pastor told him, God don't want you rapping. And he didn't do it. But I heard him rap something. He was a natural at it, and people would have gotten saved. When he went to Iraq, he ministered, people got saved. Wherever this brother go, people get saved. If he would have rapped like I heard him do, people would have been... Who knows what God could have turned that into. Tradition will kill the plan of God. So the people in your life that God wants to, if God has given you visions and guiding you to do things, watch out for, see, every Christian is not a Christian. Some of them, there are tares out there. Tares are going to give you bad advice. And even good true prophets will give you bad advice, because sometimes they're taught by tares, and that's where the dead cold religion comes from. Dead religion, cold religion comes from tares. And you can trace it all the way back to when the gospel first began to be preached by the apostles. Because people would always try to take their words out of context. Just read the word, you'll see it plain as day. They tried to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. And they tried to blend the law with grace. And you can't. The law was the mountain before Zerubbabel. Jesus turned into a plane. Walk over it. He said grace to it. The law is for the lawless. And the grace of is... The grace gives us the ability to be just and right with God. Now we'll stop there. I'm out of time. The Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus is Lord.